win the championship with the most valuable player. You win the championship with a team of people. Each one who is able to do his job better than I could do it, and better than the inventor could do it, because the inventor gets tired. He doesn't want to spend the time necessary to develop the yield. He doesn't want to spend the time of what material of construction is going to be. He doesn't want to spend the time of what are you going to do with the HCl that you make when you make the isocyanate. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to get it back? Can you electrolyze it or what, or can you sell it or what? These things are important because the field of the urethane would not be as great as it is if people hadn't found uses for HCl and pickling steel and all these things. So you have to have this team. And if anything goes in the book, that's what's needed. And to tell you the truth, that's what was wrong with the Germans' chemistry as compared to the U.S. science. The Germans never had any good chemical engineers. We had chemical engineers because of the petroleum business. And it wasn't that the chemical business learned to steal the chemical engineers from the petroleum business. And that's the reason the petrocarbon business came along. You had the combination of the chemists and the big scale and what to do with byproducts. See? Mm-hmm. These things are not, I guess I'll say, are not rewarded enough. And the salesman just as important. You know, you make something and you say, what's it good for? And somebody says, hell, it's good for so-and-so. I talked to a friend the other day, he's illustrative of it. He works for 3M. What do you think one of 3M's best products is now?
Well, it's tape and adhesives and things like that.
It's a mixture of Teflon and a porous substance. Why? Because the porosity you want to keep. If you put it into most polymers, the damn polymer gets in the pores. They said, fine, Teflon won't wet the pores. And they have a whole class now of absorption systems, which are Teflon and an absorbent material. That's what you call teamwork. Mm-hmm. And if there's any company in the world that's been able to do that, it's 3M. And they have that unique ability to take and put Teflon and absorbent together and say, I'll make a super absorbent. And they make a sheet. And it's a beauty. This is a really good thing. Do what you want with it. Clean it up. And there it is. So, again, the thing that is so important in my operation is the recognition of the team. And that is the reason why, even in Kellogg, I got along with Walter Lobo. Walter Lobo was probably the best, if not the best, one of the best chemical engineers in the business, petroleum. But I knew Walter was a dream, and I knew that the fluid cracking people were, and how could we use them? And yet, it's not only use them, how do you get them up in this tier of things? How do you get them up in the, see, this was the thing that bothered me in going with 3M. I had no doubt that I could lead them in doing research. And I don't have any doubt that I'd been equally as good or better if I'd have been there. But I didn't have any way to work myself into it. At Pullman and Kellogg and Olin, I had a perfect, because they just spent a lot of money in buying a lot of stuff. And it was buying maybe shotguns and pharmaceuticals, about as related as, but you had to find some way to use them. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that I worry about, quite frankly, and still do. How do we set up, this is a good problem for you to work on, how do you set up in the chemical business so you could have an all-star football game? You would have on the team an inventor, you would have some salespeople, you would have this and that, and your team would challenge my team. And that would make a lot of difference in the business. We would be competitive. You get a ring if you're on the winning football team. But that ring is just as highly praised as the quarterback who got the most valuable award. He wears that ring with just as much. Sure, the rest of them wouldn't have him. But if he didn't have that guard to keep the other guy off his neck, he'd have been in the hospital. And that's the thing that we don't emphasize enough in this business. We don't have enough emphasis on team play. And awarding teams. I see that myself. I've been fortunate. You see, to get the most valuable award, it's just like being put it on the Inventors Hall of Fame. That isn't what I did. I didn't do a damn thing. But somebody, and I never knew who, had enough interest in it to put my name up. And when my name up, there was enough people in it to say, yes, that is an important field. There's one interesting thing, too, just to show what happened. Many people think I'm a millionaire because I had the Teflon, the urethane patent. How much did I get for the urethane patent?
I was going to ask you that. I was curious.
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing. My son says I got a dollar because DuPont gives everybody the Asia patent a dollar. But I don't remember that. But I never got a single thing out of DuPont. And when I won the award, DuPont sent one man out to be present when I was honored. Hmm. Fine. But that's not important. What's important is that invention made millions of dollars for somebody else that was in the investment business, offered good sales jobs, offered opportunities to develop new products. And it just happens that reaction is one of the easiest one to make a new product. It's just about as equal as spitting in it. And it is that thing. And I can't help but think that you talk about the coinage. Sure, I was involved in that, but I didn't contribute much, except I go to the management and say, the management, look, we're in the aluminum business. We want new users for it. Let's get the government to pay for it. And we would do the work. And it was good work. It was good. We started a lot of alloys. And I think that someday our coinage will be probably more aluminum than it is silver or nickel. because those are too rare. But that's what is important. And if you gain anything from me in this operation, think in terms of how could we get Kellogg versus Olin in a team operation. I don't know the answer. And I said I still have one problem. I have a problem that I have been interested in for 30 years. I have not solved it. I haven't solved it yet. I am probably on my 29th all in the how to solve it. I now have a new system, which I won't go into right now, but I'll tell you how I got there. I was interested in this deal. And how do you get there? Why can't you get the things together? Why can't you get methane in my automobile? I know it must be there. And it is. We got to get it. It's too much in another world. Why can't we get it in? Well, many, 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 many years ago, I worked on acetylene. I'm so old I can't even get my. Not as. Methane, ethane. What's the gas?
Propane, butane.
No, triple bond. Triple bond.
Acetylene.
Acetylene's the word I'm looking for. I didn't even recognize it. Acetylene. Well, working on acetylene, I knew something. I knew how to package acetylene. It is old as a hill. How did I do it? I took an absorbent material. And on that absorbent material, I put a solvent. It was fortunate. It was cheap. It was acetone. And then I could pump acetylene onto that absorbent material with acetone, and I could make a very safe acetone acetylene system. And after all, that was the basis for putting it in your automobile years ago. Why couldn't I do that? Well, I can tell you this. Don't look for acetylene for solvent for methane. Because I didn't read German very well, but I looked at a lot of German books. In fact, just to complete my time, I went to a major oil company, and I told them I had an idea of how we could put methane in your automobile. And they said, well, we're not interested in that. That's competition. But I'll tell you what we'll do, Butch. You give us the idea and we'll take a look at it and tell you whether it's any good. I said, thanks. The oil company did do it. I estimated they spent somewhere between $25,000 and $50,000 on a literature search. Buy them. And after about 6 months to a year, they called me in. And they said, Butch, we've looked at your stuff and there's two things. One, we're not in the methane business. And two, we don't think your idea is worth a damn. And here's the literature search. I said, can I look at the literature search? They said, sure. They gave me a copy of it. I guess about 2 weeks later, I called them up. I said, I agree with you. It's not worth a damn. But that doesn't mean I'm stopped. And that doesn't mean I'm not still working at it. This same company had said at the time that if I ever had an idea that I thought was novel. They give me a little money to try it. Within the last few years, they did. I told them I had enough. They gave me $5,000. In my day, that was a lot of money. We tried it. I don't know whether I got it or not. But I know this, that the first experiment with that money was a bell ringer. I can't duplicate it. I have run literally hundreds of experiments, and I can't come close. Something within the system that I didn't realize. And I have come to the conclusion, I know what that something was. Order.
Okay.
And it functioned some way that was not apparent to me. And I still don't know that that's the answer. I still don't know. I am now to bring you up. I don't want this part in the book, whatever you write. But I still think that I know how to do it. My wife says I'm crazy, and maybe I am, but I can't give up. That one has stuck me for nearly 40 years. And it is the one thing that if you had your choice in this country today to solve a problem, what would you solve? Methane power, and a combustion engine. Don't go me and talk to me about an electric engine. And they used to go into methane and then burn it and all that. I want to burn that in a combustion engine. Why? Because we know that the largest supply of the hydrocarbon in the world, we never use it up, is methane. And the one thing that's interesting in the people that's done the most work is the Germans. And there's one field that's been worked over and over, and that is how to get it out of the earth. We don't know that yet. But the amount of work that we've done at the Bureau of Mines on how to get it out, or look at the work the German has done as to how to get it out. And just think, what reason you can't get it out? It's water. It forms a class of compounds called clathrates. Mm-hmm. And damn it, they plug up the pipe. And if you eat the pipe a little bit, you can break it up. Or you can do what the government's doing. They add methanol, ethylene, glycol. Why? Simple. They just want to drop the melting point of ice, and then they can go ahead. Because water don't hurt you. In fact, the water with methane, it'd probably be a good thing, because the methane alone may be too high a temperature in the present combustion engine. You'd have to use stainless steel. But if you could get a little water and methane in the system and not plug it up, and it's the only one, put the methanol in to get rid of it, or use methanol as an additive, it stinks. It's poisonous. It kills you. No mother's going to want methanol in her automobile. And ethanol? Where the hell take good grain and make ethanol one? The question is, how? How can I get the methanol in my... Now, it's going in a bus. And there is a group of which the government is now spending money on using cylinders. But those cylinders are 3,000 pounds pressure. And those cylinders are made by winding drums in order to get their weight down. You couldn't put that in your car. It would have made room for you. And now in a truck, that's different. But you can't in an automobile. And if you could do that, you would solve the biggest health program problem in the United States. Better than all the other things. My wife wouldn't be sick back there now with an allergy type of reaction. And with that, I guess I've shot my load.
No, I have a few more questions yet.
Okay.
I'm not clear on how you you left Olin. Was that when Mr. Olin died,
did you
say?
It was John Olin. John Olin was the Olin of the Olin Corporation in Akron, in Alton, Illinois.
Okay.
And John Olin got into the explosive business in the First World War. And he made explosive. Winchester and Western cartridge were his big business. And he had big ammunition all over. He was a very brilliant man. He was a very wealthy man. He was a very inquisitive man. And he bought the Olin Corporation and put it together because it had a lot of things. It wasn't just making explosives and things. He wanted the package. And he had the right concept of the package. And when he died, the package fell apart because Squibb didn't want to have anything to do with Winchester. And the paper business didn't want anything to do with cellophane. And each one wanted his own way. They couldn't see, none of them, but Mr. Olin could see the advantages of tying them together. And polyethylene shot shells is a good example.
Mm-hmm.
That's bring now. In fact, now they're all recycled. And so, you see, it takes people. That's where I've been very lucky. I got to know people like Elmer Bolton, who was head of DuPont Research. Bolton had a concept of research, and he had a team of advisors. He had what he called the steering committee.
Mm-hmm.
Bolton was not the only one. He had a steering committee. He had himself. He had a man out of the cellophane division that was assistant to him. Then he had a chemical engineer, Crawford Greenwald. He had Brubaker, a damn good organic chemist. He had Chilton, a chemical engineer. He had a team of about seven people. And they met once every week, come hell or high water. And nobody on that steering committee dare miss. Even the vice president of the company, Crawford Greenwald. That was his job. And Bolton sat at the end of the table. And guys that they brought in to that team of people was young men like me. And that had a tremendous effect on me because it gave me a confidence that I couldn't have gotten any other way. I knew that when I walked into that room, they were going to be better at tearing me apart than Bailey is tearing the people apart today. But on the other hand, I knew that if I could hold up, and if the next day Brubaker called me and said, "Butch, we want you to write a new project in this direction," I had succeeded. And so those are the things you have to excuse me for crying.
Yeah.
But I am a very sentimental man. And I just wish there was some way to get prestige through the people down along the line. I have several medals, several awards. I don't really earn them. He was just one. What does yours want to say? For the I think it says something about the utilization of research and industry or something like that. It doesn't have anything to do with the Perkins Medal. It is the Perkins Medal, I think. But it wasn't given to me for something. I say Max Tischler, a good friend of mine. Max Tischler got a lot of awards, and Max Tischler got them as a man that made a compound, or made a classic compound. But Max Tischler, with all his making his compound, wasn't worth a tinker's damn without somebody in the plant that could scale it up, somebody that could tell me how to put it in a capsule, somebody that could get it through the NIH up here. That is the team. And that's not recognized enough in industry. I just feel so positive of that.